Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net.
Outcast World, it's Graham. Edinburgh Fringe special. I've got some interesting chats coming up today on our daily dispatch, final week of the Fringe, the Tuesday dispatch. I'm having a chat to somebody who's got a show called Is Pepsi OK? His name is Gareth Waugh. He's one of the biggest comedians in Scotland. He's supported all the big names, Catherine Ryan, Daniel Sloss, John Bishop from My Way, and he's an all-round good guy. Also, if you live in Scotland, you'll see him on sort of BBC Radio Scotland and on the radio and doing stuff. And just, he's one of them people that's funny and everybody in the area knows them. So I was literally walking around Edinburgh after our chat that you're about to hear, and we were like walking into George Square, going to the Underbelly Artist Bar. So we hung out for like a few hours afterwards. I felt proper like involved. I was sat there with all of the comedians from all different parts of the country, the parts of the country that I'm really interested in as well. Like a load of Scousers sat there, Daniel Sloss's mum and dad didn't realise until they left, and his brother as well, the whole Sloss experience, because Gareth is really good mates with Daniel. And if you go and see his show, Is Pepsi OK? I'm going to let you in on something here. When he talks about the person he interviewed as the other presenter, I am the person. And he kept my identity secret for me, which was very kind of him. And then he also got Daniel Sloss, one of the biggest comedians in the UK, doing sellout gigs around the world, to play me. I think if Is Pepsi OK tours, I want you to see that bit and know that... I know that that's me, and I couldn't be more happy that Daniel Sloss is playing me, that the effort's gone in there. So anyway, it's a really weird story of back in 2022. I'm just going to fill you in on my side of this. Back in 2022, when I started doing this podcast, I did a summer's work for a podcast for a big multinational company, let's put it that way, or so I thought, because I was dealing with someone who used to work with me. It was someone I've been professionally involved with, because they were in working for one of the companies I ended up working for. I can't give too much information. So you kind of trust someone like that, don't you? It comes along, do you want to do a podcast? And then before you know it, you're doing loads of work, and he's going, oh, put this on your bill, stick that on your bill, put your petrol on your bill. You're building up an invoice to give to them at the end, and it's just someone you've known for years. And then all of a sudden, the bill goes in, and you're ghosted. So that happened to me 1 year. Then the very next year, it sounds like the same thing happened again. Except Gareth got paid a lot quicker than I did. It only took him a few months. For me, I didn't get paid until 2024. So a mad story all round. And Gareth is somebody that you wouldn't want to fall out with. The man got private detectives to track this person down. He would not leave any stone unturned in this almost true crime stand-up routine. It's something that has to be seen to be believed. So I'm going to chat to him now, and I suggest if you're in Edinburgh this week, you need to go down and see him there. And also coming up, science for grown-ups. It can be done, but with a queer tinge. It's queer-coded. All that coming up on Outcast World, live from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Queer politics.
When Farage says jump, Labour might say how high.
And it's not true. It's offering people false hope.
Sex.
Dating apps have become a breeding ground for the worst of human behaviours.
And culture.
What do you want, home? We get together, we be simple. Simple. Be simple for me.
He will, like, go nosh himself off.
This is Outcast World.
My uncle came to the show the other day. He was a policeman. And he was like, the whole second half of the show, I was like, you're a fucking idiot. He was like, how did you fall for it? And I was like, well, I've known him for a year and you've known him even longer.
Yeah,
and he like got us both.
We were groomed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a witness in this.
I would say the show is basically a live version of like a true fake podcast. For a true fake community, because that's what I felt I was living through at the time, which is when I was asked to work on a project by a person who was a nonsense, that he didn't work for that company, in my opinion, and I still believe that, but he, I don't believe he worked there. So I did a bit of work for him before, became really good friends, and then I did a podcast for him, which he said he came quite well for, and then the money never came in, so I started doing a bit of digging, and it just gets mad at me. Yeah, basically, I don't even really understand con myself, which is the hardest part to explain, because I don't know the motive, and that surely should be the main thing. But yeah, essentially, the band is a charlatan. Fantasy.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I still see so, yeah.
When you add it all together, you kind of go, why did I not know? No, I say this because this, I'm being really careful how I say
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone I'd worked with and known professionally
for years,
and I guess when he approached me to do a pub,
yeah,
I always thought something's not quite right about
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
So, at what point when he approaches you and gets you to do this, at what point did you think sometimes it seemed right?
When I first got an email, when I was chasing the paper, I got an email back saying, and someday within the company has used our podcast to invoice / and they'll do fraud. Because I knew straight away, that's just not how that would work. It's impossible. Yeah, I slowly started digging in a bit more and finding out more. But yeah, it's like you said, when you look back and see all the little things you missed, it's rough. And my uncle came to the show the other day, he was a policeman, and he was like, the whole second half of the show, I was like, you're a fucking idiot. He was like, how did you fall for it? And I was like, well, I knew him for a year, and you knew him even longer.
Yeah,
and he like got us both.
We were groomed.
Yeah, exactly.
We were groomed with alcohol and dinners and... And then compliments, I think. I think it's
yes.
Because this, I don't do the same thing as you. But when someone believes in you, you'd be really good at this. I'm not sure that you're involved.
Yeah.
You kind of spend judgment, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel like you've done this as well as me.
That's exactly how it went. It's like, he really believed in me, or he made me believe that he believed in me. And I think that's about the upsetting the most, because I was like, okay, the hard. Like, in industry, like any media one, it's like comedy or radio or whatever, feeling overlooked is maybe one of the worst things.
Yeah.
Somebody believes in you that much. It feels good and you want to believe in yourself, but you want to feel like you can do it, and that's how to do it.
So how long did it take you to get paid a year?
No, it was like 3 months, so because I chased so hard.
You did chase hard.
Yeah.
You chased hard on me, I was just skipping.
I was, yeah. Because it was right after The Fringe, so The Fringe is like very busy time for comedians, and we don't really get the money from our ticket sales to like the pro, which I was scared.
Yeah.
And, but also, I think it was more just like, I'm saying, well, what's going on? I found it fascinating. Like, back there, his email didn't match up with Bob, or Poi's email should, and then when I phoned him, though, I don't know who that is. So all of it started, it was the mystery that then made me chase it harder than the money, but and same thing with one ball. But I was chasing it for 3 months, and it was 12 hours after I accused him of being a fraud that I got the money.
Right.
And I don't think if I hadn't done that, I'd have been.
So I waited, I'm thinking I did the work this time, all through the summer of 2022.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the money until summer of 2024. There's only a few more days left of the show.
Monkey Bar.
Yeah, sorry.
And it shows every day at 4:20. It's sold out Saturday, Sunday, Friday's almost sold out, so there's only a few tickets. But every day there's, I say, 10 tickets in Monkey Bar, but it's 10 tickets. Right. For pay what you want. So if you can't afford to buy a ticket, you can come into the show anyway and you can make sure it's worth the end. But if you don't have a place today, just having to have you there. So there's always 10 tickets. So come on one of those days, we're getting first in queue earlier.
Gareth, thanks for the chat.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks for involving me in the whole thing. It's been so mad to just watch.
Yeah, thank you.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
The brilliant and very funny Gareth Wather, who knows everyone in Edinburgh. Everyone in comedy knows him, and you can still catch him for the rest of this week at the Edinburgh Fringe, which is on until the 31st. Most of you might not get a chance to do that, but if he goes on tour with that, you've got to see it. Right, to the Fringe Vault now, and to two other people that were actually involved, but never inconvenienced by that scam, alleged scam. that me and Gareth fell for. The last time I spoke to these guys was when I was on a podcast, that podcast that we're talking about, that same project that Gareth's done his whole show about. I actually spoke to these next two guys who do loads of improv, and this is some work that they do with science. It's science for grown-ups, and I just actually seen Rich from this yesterday, who'd gone to actually see Gareth's show. So we're seeing him on the end when people were walking out, and it's really good to see him again. But the last time I seen Rich was during this interview that you're about to hear, which is when I was up to record that show all them years ago. Well, I got a chance to do this interview with these guys, which is just really fascinating, making science more interesting for humans, and also queer-coded as well. Take a listen to this.
Science Stories for Grownups is a project that started because we realized there wasn't a lot of science communication for adults, especially, that engages the heart as well as the mind. And so we thought, hey, why don't we use storytelling, plain science, in a way that's not going to bore people to death, feel like they're having fun and they're a bit informed, maybe.
Yeah.
So you hope that people will leave the show and they'll have learned something.
That's it.
I like that.
It's almost like science meets theater. So it's as far away from a lecture as you possibly can get.
Okay.
We're trying to animate bits of science to make it a bit more accessible. Like, you know, molecules speak to each other. Things are like game shows when they shouldn't be game shows. I don't know. The things along those lines. It's been difficult in terms of, like, I suppose the way we wrote the stories was that we always knew that there was, like, here's a bit of science and here's a sort of metaphor that helps to explain it. We've got one that is attempting to explain thermodynamics, so kind of the way that certain reactions happen and certain reactions don't, on the scale of like a water bottle, but using a metaphor of Titanic.
Nice.
So it's like water molecules falling in love and obeying the rules of thermodynamics. And the whole love story is built around the Titanic, kind of. There was an ice folk feature. There was an ice cube feature. If that helps to kind of understand it.
It's about, like, pushing imagination, right? The fact that if you could imagine a dragon, you can imagine a molecule. For the rainbow, the metaphor that we used actually was, yeah, the spectrum of sexuality. And the fact that sometimes you realize who you are only when you're put under that pressure of society. And in the same way, ray of light realizes it's a rainbow only when it's put under the pressure of the water molecules around it.
That's such a good explanation. I was gripped by that. Can I ask how you ended up doing this? Do you have like a science background, or?
We both met at Edinburgh University studying chemistry.
Right.
But that was,
yeah, donkeys 12 years ago.
Yeah, like, yeah. 12 years ago. So we kind of, maybe didn't speak for a little bit, and then kind of rekindled our relationship in the pandemic. And Julie was writing these science stories. We were both kind of like thinking, oh, there's something in this. It was actually a book, first of all, with my kind of experience doing The Fringe. I thought, I really want to do this on stage, bring these to life. And so that was a kind of a process of it. I work in science communication outside of the festival. So I kind of work
for the science communication.
One of the other kind of many festivals in Edinburgh is the Science Festival.
Yeah.
So in April, I would be doing science workshops for kids and shows, kind of like bringing science to life for that kind of age range. But I've never really done anything for adults, and that was the challenge. So this is like a step up in the complexity of the science,
yeah,
and a different audience.
Well, I think there's also an aspect of like openness, right? This kind of form of putting science and theater together, it's not really been done before.
No, it hasn't, right? Has it?
And so there is the experimentation with the public, but there's also the fact that we want people to know that they're kind of welcome and to see this thing that's a bit different. Because in the end, it comes from our passion for science and science communication and the fact that we want to outreach to people in this way.
Yeah. It's a really good way to do it, though, isn't it? You're right in saying, I've not heard anybody else do this. Mm. I almost wish this had been done years ago. Chemistry was my worst subject at school, because without being brought to life, chemistry can be so dry, can't it? It can be a really tough.
What's kind of interesting for us is that there would have been science communication up to a point. Like, you go to the science festival as an 11-year-old, whatever, but then once you get to actually studying science at high school, suddenly all those fun bits disappear in terms of like the engagement of it, and it becomes very much like you're either going to take it seriously or you're not going
to
do it.
Formulas. I used to find it's like really complex maths. That's what put me off.
the school.
That's a big thing, yeah. We actually had one thing last night from Dan. Mentioned, but it was a biology thing.
Yeah, we have a biologist friend who told us that we used the wrong term for a body part.
we said trachea instead of esophagus.
Yeah.
One you breathe into, that's the trachea. The esophagus you eat.
We've got a question written down here, and I didn't come up with this. It's been suggested that I ask it. What, if any, element would you be and why? And I thought, do you know what? Talking to you, I think you probably do have a favourite element, both of you, don't you?
Goodness me. So, quick to exist, but then don't actually exist for very long.
Tell me one.
What they did with their Brainiac back in the day was putting in, I think it was the alkali metal elements, where they put them in water and they catch fire, explode. They did potassium, sodium and everything. But they tried to go further down that list. Brainiac actually faked that experiment when they got to some of the later ones, because it was like the explosion would have been too big and too, or wasn't impressive enough. I can't remember. But there's one of those elements that only exists. It's so unstable in air that it actually disappears within about a few seconds.
Oh, wow.
I think it's called francium or francium.
Is it on the periodic table?
It's on the periodic table, yeah.
I'll look it up.
That's my favorite.
So I think it would be something like I'm going to give you a science-y answer now. Transition metals. First of all, because they're like quite expensive and, you know, worthwhile. But also, they're good for something called catalysis that makes chemical reactions just more sustainable.
What do you mean by sustainable, or they don't blow up?
It means that you have to use less energy to be able to achieve the same outcome.
Right, okay.
And that's really important now, right? Yeah. That's why I'm going to give you a science-y answer.
Mine's uranium. Is it? Not because I'm building some kind of weapon or something like that. It's fascinating because it's radioactive.
I've only got something that's in the head from what we do in the show, which is the concept of time slowing down the closer you get towards the speed of light. I just find that like a really weird concept. Yeah. So like if you were to go out and travel near the speed of light for a certain period of time, you would experience less time in the spaceship than you would do on Earth.
You would
come back younger than you would have
done on Earth. In many ways, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm going to look into it. Can I ask a question then? Do you know, we talked about time and all that. Black holes, right? Is it true that if you're in a black hole, then like all time stops?
I think theoretically, yes.
Yeah.
I think
no one's ever tried it, so.
But that one knows. That's what the equations say.
Is it?
Maybe, yeah.
There's only one way to find out. It's in a spaceship. Thank you, guys. Love that. The lovely Rich and Julia doing science for grown-ups I spoke to at Edinburgh Fringe just a few years ago, and I actually bumped into Rich the other day, and it was lovely to see him. I love the way those two get in there, just stuff that's queer-coded whilst teaching people science and all about that. Tomorrow on the show, I catch up with the absolutely brilliant Joey Jennings. I'm off to see the show this evening. Little Pink Dress is the show, but we've got a full chat coming with Joey, who has flown in from New York to be at the Fringe this year with it's very difficult to explain, rock, country sort of crossover on a story about somebody that's lived the American dream, a gay guy that's lived the American dream in the big cities and has also experience some of the pitfalls of queer life in some of America's biggest cities, and that will be on the show tomorrow, live from Edinburgh. We'll see you then.
Queer politics, sex, and culture. Outcast World.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net, top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.